It's an honor for me to get to share with you this morning during the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper goes by a number of different names. Some people tend to call it the Eucharist. Some call it communion. Some the Lord's Supper. Some, like me, just kind of mix it all up together. But it's the same thing. The painting that I've put in the PowerPoint, if we could pull the PowerPoint up, please, is from the Cathedral of Cordoba in the south of Spain. And it's a painting of the Lord's Supper. And I really like this painting. I like the painting because of the way it shows Jesus around the table. Leonardo da Vinci's Lord's Supper is the most famous painting, perhaps, of the Lord's Supper. It's one of my least favorite because I don't see them all getting on one side of the table to eat. It's like they were posing for the picture or something, and they all got on one side for the selfie shot. And that's not the way the Lord's Supper is done. The Lord's Supper is a meeting around the Lord, not a line formed with the Lord. Now, those of you who are in the class that I'm honored to get to teach know that one of my favorite things to do is to study the Bible. I love Bible study. I love reading it in the Greek, and we're going to be looking next hour in the FLC at two unusual Greek words in a passage in John. I love to dig into the Greek. I love to study the Old Testament in Hebrew. It's a great joy of mine, and having degrees in Greek and Hebrew have taken me places in my Bible study that are unusual. But this morning is not about an in-depth Bible study in here. As much as I love it, this morning's about something that's very different. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Bible study. Absolutely not. Study the Bible, study the Bible, study the Bible. But the Lord's Supper is not about academia. The Lord's Supper is about relationship. We're not gathered together for an intense Bible study of Eucharisto, the Greek verb that we get the word Eucharist from, though that might aid us in our Lord's Supper. But this morning, our concentration is not about Jesus, it's with Jesus. Communion is not studying about Jesus. You can be a pagan and study about Jesus. You can be someone with no faith at all in God and study about Jesus. There's a well-known New Testament professor on the East Coast who's an avowed atheist, but he teaches about Jesus. But we're not here to learn about Jesus right now. We are here to be with Jesus. If we don't get that, we're missing part of what we're here for. It's why these songs our worship team and Brent were leading us in are so, we are here for you. Those songs are to God. So communion's not a creed to memorize. It's a meal to share. Here at our church, we practice open communion with everyone who participates in the cross of Christ. If you're visiting today and you're thinking, oh dear, they're doing the Lord's Supper. How's that going to be done? In some churches, you come down and a minister or a priest will give you the elements or something like that. Our deacons will be passing out the Lord's Supper. It's one where we urge you, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the cross, you are welcome to join us. If you are not there, you are welcome to take that plate and pass it to the next person. Don't feel awkward at all. We're just having a fellowship meal with our Lord. And one day, if you're not in fellowship with our Lord, we'd love you to be. And we'd love to talk to you about that. As I frequently think through this communion relationship with Jesus, though, I do it in three different aspects. I have a tendency to think of it as the past and what my life has been. I have a tendency to focus on the present and what my life is today. And I have a tendency to look ahead and see what seems to be coming down the pike. So I want you to join me and do that. And as we do that, here's the way it will process. Our deacons are going to come up, and they're going to take the bread in plates and pass it around. Take your piece of bread, but don't consume it yet. Hold on to it, because after you take it, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to talk to you about it, and then we'll all take it together in a deeper symbolism of our unity in Jesus. So with that, our worship team's going to lead us in some additional worship while our deacons pass out the elements. And after you've got your element, hold on to it. I'll be back up here. Thank you. And when I think about the past, and I think about it with these songs of clinging to the cross, of standing in awe of who He is and what He's done, I always want to take a moment with the Lord's Supper to recognize with praise what He's done. And what He's done starts with all of the worst that we've got. I'm talking about the things in your darkest corner of your closet. I'm talking about the things you swept under the rug so long ago that they may be beginning to smell. I'm talking about all of your worst, all of your true moral guilt. I mean, there is a God. And He is a moral God. And He made us to walk in fellowship with Him as a moral God. We are made as image bearers. His morality is hardwired into us. We know when we do wrong, unless our consciences are so seared beyond recognition. We know our immorality. We know our sin, and we know the true moral guilt. But the point of the bread that you're holding in your hands is that the body of Christ was given for you. He was broken for our transgressions. All of the guilt is gone. And when all of the true moral guilt is gone, all of the shame and all of the taint is gone. If you feel shame, if you feel dirty, then you need to reckon yourself clean. God's sacrifice for your sin was never inadequate. There's not a person in this room where sin would be inadequate. I'll tell you a story of a sister in Christ no longer with us. She and her family got flooded out in New Orleans with the horrible flood, and they came to Houston. And she was a single mother with a number of children, and she, through her employer in New Orleans, who had basically ended the law firm with this, called me and said, "Could you offer her a job? She's a Christian. You're a Christian. Y'all will get along great." I didn't know how to say there are a lot of Christians I don't really get along great with. There's some heathens I get along with pretty good too. So I said, absolutely. She was a marvelous worker. She was great. She worked for us as if she was working for the Lord. And she'd been with us for a number of months when she came into my office sheepishly. And she said, "Mr. Mark, I need to tell you something. I love my job, but I know this is the last day I'll work here." And I said, what's up? She said, I got to tell you what I've done, and I know once I tell you this, I'm gone, and I should have told you before. I'm thinking, what's she done, you know? And I said, what? And she said, when I was younger, I was addicted to drugs. And to fund my drug habit, I sold my body. And I've had, and she details more stuff. I said, "And this was when you were young?" She said, "Yes." I said, I thought you were a Christian. She said, well, that didn't come till later. I said, right, but you're a Christian. And she said, yes. And I said, so you've been born again. Yes. So the sacrifice of Jesus has washed away all of that. Yes. I said, why do I care about it? She said, what do you mean? I said, why does that matter to me? That was you then. You met Jesus. He died for all of that. You are a trophy of God's grace. I don't send you on your way in shame. I want to put you on a shelf and show everybody what the power of Jesus Christ does in the life of someone. That's what this is. This is the body of Christ that was given for you. Take and eat in remembrance of what he's done. He's the reason we are as clean and as pure as snow. Would you pray with me? Father, we commune around your table to participate in the death of Jesus, our Lord, your Son. We take this bread in remembrance of him and what he's done, celebrating the cleanness we have from every guilt, from every sin, from every dark corner, from every mistake, every intentional wrongdoing, all of the shame, all of the taint, Father. We give it to him who is broken for us, and we partake of his holiness together. Amen. Take, please. The importance of Jesus for us is not just the past. The importance is also the present. Because we commune with him, because we participate with him, because we share in his body. We are different today. We walk in love with each other. Oh, I wish you could stand where I'm standing. It is a sea of people with different ages, different skin color, different nationalities, different socioeconomic status based on how some of you are dressed. I don't mean that you're dressed bad. I mean, some of you are really cutting the style, looking good. But all of us come together and by taking communion proclaim not only God's love for us, but our love for each other. There's a chain here that Scripture sets up. I want you to see the chain. Jesus said in John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us. He showed us the greatest love. John carries that chain farther. We read in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Do you see that chain? As we come and commune with the cross of Jesus, as we understand and gather around his table and contemplate the sacrifice he made for us, we understand an incredible love that flows out from us to other people because we love as he first loved us. And it doesn't just flow to each other, but the world sees it. And Jesus said, by this, all people will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. That's what I want. That's my beg. That's my plea. I don't want people to know I'm a Christian because I'm from the South. I don't want people to know I'm a Christian because our district votes one way or another. I don't want people to know I'm a Christian because of my politics, my education, my money, my lack of money, my anything. Skin color, heritage. I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian except for the fact that they see this incredible love for other people. And if they understand that love, they'll say, why? Why do you love like that? And I can explain. Because that's how they'll know we're following Jesus, if we love each other. When we walk in love with each other, we walk in communion with the Lord. When we walk in faith, we walk in communion with the Lord. The Lord said it. He was very clear. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the assurance. So when we walk in faith, we're walking with the Lord. I don't know what your burden is today. I don't know if you're sad. I don't know if you're struggling with health or if loved ones are. I don't know if you've lost someone dear to you. I don't know if you're worried about job or the economics of life. I don't know if you're in an estranged relationship that you wish would work out. I don't know if you're worried about what you're going to do with your life. I don't know what your burden is. But if we walk in faith and commune with the Lord Jesus, He takes that burden and He assures us He will make our path straight. We acknowledge Him, we walk with Him, and we don't walk alone. Now, that doesn't mean that life's always easy. Don't ever understand this passage to mean that if you're a Christian, you're on easy street. That's not what it means for Jesus' yoke to be easy. This is the same Jesus who told His disciples, if any man or woman would come after me, let him deny himself or herself, take up his or her cross, and follow me. That's not always a life of ease and leisure. This is a world. This is that is fallen. This is not heaven. This is not Eden. This is not a remade earth of perfection. This is a fallen world, and we are living, redeemed, set free, born again, but awaiting the final glorification. And so there are difficulties and there are struggles, but the key to this is communion. We don't face sorrow alone. We don't. We've got the Lord Jesus and we've got His body. And when we partake of this together, we need to partake of this as His body. Right now we walk in joy. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Jesus says this as He's about to go to the cross, that we're going to have His joy. But He did it even in that last prayer in Gethsemane, praying, I'm coming to you, God, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So we're going to pass out the juice. I ask you to take the cup, hold to the cup while we sing the songs, and then we'll take it together in just a few moments, okay? So join me in that. All that I have just to know you. It's one of my favorite songs. But I urge you to think about what you just prayed to God because He hears your prayers. Oh, to be like you. Give all that I have just to know you. The Greek word know means an intimate relationship. It's communion. Give all that I have just to sit with Jesus at table, to be intimate with Him. What else has value? Your money won't die for you. There may be people in your life. I've got my daughter Sarah here. I'd die for her in a heartbeat. But it's the love of God that's in my heart that would do it. Give everything you've got just to know Jesus, the one who would die for you. And that's what he's done. He says that this blood is my covenant, which is poured out for you. As often as you take this, as often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray together over the cup. Father, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for the blood of Jesus poured out for us. And we commune with you as we take this and drink this, seeking to know you, putting a relationship with you above every other thing in our lives. We honor you through this blood of Jesus and in his name. Amen. So this is a really marvelous thing that we get to partake in. It's a marvelous thing not only for the past and what it means with forgiveness, not only for the present and how I can live today with faith and joy, even in the midst of sorrow or suffering. But it says something about the future. The way Matthew wrote the Lord's Supper passage, he said, "And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, said, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" That's the past. That's the present. But then he said this, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We are communing with Jesus here, but we're not just communing for this moment. We are communing for another day. We are communing with an eye towards what will be. Revelation 19, verses 6 and 9, talk about the marriage feast of the Lamb. And John wrote in his vision, "Hallelujah," as he's recording the angels singing, "The Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice, let us exult, and let us give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, the church, has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." These are the true words of God. Blessed are you who've been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This will happen one day. Jesus will drink it new with us in his Father's kingdom. We are commemorating and remembering not just Jesus and what he did, but Jesus and what he will do. We have hope. We can endure suffering knowing that rejoicing is on the way. We can say with Paul in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me." Because we know what's coming. We know the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. And Paul said the same thing in 1 Corinthians when he told that church, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then we'll do it with him." A lot of people want to know this question. They say, well, why are we here? I live occupationally among a lot of inquisitive people who are trying to figure out why we're here. Why are we on this planet? Why are we doing what we're doing? And they're trying to figure out good reasons. We who commune with the Lord around His table can answer that. We can live with purpose and direction. We can walk confidently through today, hand in hand with our Savior, with whom we commune. And we can do it because we know we will dine again with Him around His table. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim His death until He comes. We are partakers with Jesus of this meal. This is life, not academia. And so it's the reason that painting means a lot to me, because that painting reflects the reality of how we share. It's the reason this fellowship means a lot to me. It's the drive behind the Bible study. I get to go teach. If I'm only teaching an academic lesson, I'm wasting everybody's time. But if I'm sharing from the Word to better understand and know our Lord, then we're on target. That's our communion here. That's the reason the next thing we do is, with song, we pass around the collection. That's not because this is the Rotarian group where we're meeting with like-minded people and want to contribute to a good end. This is an act of worship. It's a declaration of faith and confidence in the Lord. It's a declaration of obedience. It's a righteous deed that the bride does, preparing herself for the marriage supper of the Lamb with a view forward. It's an honor and a privilege to get to do that. It's not a burden. It's not a, y'all do not want to get me started on this. I have often said, it is so unfair. I told Pastor David more times than I can count. Pastor Stephen, I'll tell any pastor, it is so unfair they have to get up here and speak about contributions and money, because they're on the payroll. I'm not on the payroll. So don't get me started, because I will launch into this with you, and I've got to go teach my class on John 4. But I will tell you this. If you feel it's a burden, if you don't want to do it, you just, I guess I have to. I stick it back in your pocket and let it burn a hole in there. God wants a faithful and a cheerful giver who says, I'm doing this because I'm on your program, Lord. It is my honor to get to do this for you. After what you have done, the table you've set, and what you gave, oh, to be like you. Give all I have just to know you forever. The hope of my heart, my soul, my life.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.